Welcome to Between Two Aeroids, a podcast where we talk about houseplants, botany, and everything in between. I'm your host, Haley Grace, and today's episode's going to be about Christmas trees, staying in the Christmas spirit of last week's episode. We will talk about the seasonal houseplant that we all get during these times, if it should be real or fake. The botanic nature of conifers, which are most Christmas trees that you see in home, and the origin of the Christmas tree tradition. So as a houseplant, should a seasonal houseplant, I'm calling it because it's something, it's a plant we put in our house seasonally. So should it be real or fake? And coming from an environmental studies background, this is a topic that I vaguely remember us talking about in environmental psychology and just the way media greenwash something. So this is from the Michigan Extension. While they're growing the conifers, they are taking in carbon dioxide. The farms that do hold Christmas trees help stabilize the soil. It also, in turn, helps protect our water supply, less erosion, and they create a refuge for wildlife. It also is grown usually in a soil that does not support many other crops. After you have your real Christmas tree inside, there are many ways for it to be recycled. You can call a tree company and they can use it for mulch or other such lumbers. So see if they're doing that in your area. And then they are renewable because to maintain a constant supply of the trees, the grower will plant one to three seedlings for every tree harvest. This also is going back to John Muir. He had a theory that if we treated trees more like forests as more of a commodity, being able to halt when supply is not high and be able to manage forests through that way so it still has some economic value that in a capitalist society would be deemed valuable. Reusable Christmas trees come from overseas, and those have large carbon emissions associated with them. And then at the end of their life, they'll just go to a landfill. And PVC, which is the plastic it's made out of, is very difficult to recycle at the end of its life and usually just ends up in a landfill, rotting, decomposing, and producing methane. If you do choose to buy a real Christmas tree, try and make sure it's locally sourced or somewhere close by, because then you'll mitigate the carbon emissions that it could come if you're in California and they're shipping trees from Michigan or wherever they... I don't really know where there's Christmas tree forests. That would be something to look up. And also a group in Australia, I believe it's a college, did a test on how to best keep your Christmas tree, real Christmas tree alive. I know they can get really dry if you get them too early. They tested out beer, an energy drink, water, boiling water, and then they sprayed hairspray all around the tree, and the best was sparing hairspray. It showed the least loss of photosynthesis. The beer and energy drink died right away, and the boiling water and regular water had about the same rate of photosynthesis. Spray, though, sounds like a fire hazard on top of a fire hazard, because I know people get spooked about lights and a real tree and it getting dried and it will cause a fire. I wonder if that's changed with the technology of lights nowadays. Like, will LEDs produce that much heat, or is it just the spark of an electric plug? Anyway, if anyone knows where that all came from, let me know. You can get a Norfolk pine and have an all-year holiday tree. They come around pretty often in like late November, early December. They, I believe, are native to Australia. Stay tuned for next week because I'm going to do a plant profile on the Norfolk pine. They look like pines. They like lots of sun and they love water. So the branches are strong enough to hold lights and ornaments, maybe not as heavy of as ornaments as a conifer would, but they do the job and you can care for it all year and then maybe even decorate it for other holidays that you celebrate. And now for the botany of Christmas trees. Most of them are conifers. There are over 500 species of conifers, have 7 separate families. The largest family of conifers is the pine family with over 232 species. Their reproductive parts are in their cone, and most have both the female and male parts in a cone, and they are wind pollinated. The cones on pines and spruce trees usually will fall in one piece while cedars and firs break while they are still on the tree. They have that waxy surface on them. You can see them. I think they're in firs, but the kind of like bluish tint they have under there, I believe, is also like that waxy surface I'm about to talk about. But they help protect them in dry environments and freezing temperatures. Most conifers are evergreens and they can carry out photosynthesis on sunny winter days, which helps in the springtime because they don't have to expend so much energy creating new branches. The conifers genus also contains some of the oldest trees. Bristle cones are known to be more than 4,000 years old. And speaking of the past, how did the Christmas tree come into tradition? So the symbolism of a tree can be found throughout Egypt, India, Persia, and northerners of the Roman Empire. This is me popping in when I am editing. I meant it was found in those regions and countries like 4th AD, so like way back in the past, trees have been used as a symbol for tradition and holiday. It's noted that it could be the survival observance connected with the pagan Saturnalia. I was just listening to an Ologies podcast about feasts, and the woman she was interviewing was going on to say that a lot of the times feasts were for the masters and the servants to either be one, or here you go, here, let me serve you for a night. And that's what this was, one of the traditions of Saturnalia. The masters would often serve the servants, or the servants and masters would eat together, or sometimes the servants would eat first and then the masters would just sit at the table and talk with them. This was also a time for free speech. Servants could talk to their masters with wit. There were still social norms that were followed, but in terms of class and hierarchy, that went out the door. Everyone was allowed to wear togas. They were the festive outfits for the Roman Empire. They thought that bright colored clothes was often tacky in the daytime or at night. This was also a time for gambling. The servants and masters would play side by side. And then there was a gift giving where the master would give gifts to servants such as dice, books, parrots, candles. Usually, if you gave a less expensive gift, it showed the bond between you and the other person. And also, gift giving was seen as a social status. The gifts could also reflect that of how they felt of you. We've seen that trees and plants have been brought in, or trees have symbolized a certain significance of a holiday or time of year. So how did they become pretty usual in North American homes and in some European countries? So it is largely a German tradition that in the 16th century that spread to other European countries and North America in the 19th century when Queen Victoria married her German cousin, Prince Albert. He was a prince of some town in Germany, and this is what made them a tradition throughout the world. Let me know your opinion on Christmas trees. I have yet to get my own when I'm in my own space. I mean, we had them in college. I'm just not a decorate-y kind of lady, so seasons kind of come and go. I put out some pumpkins for Halloween. Maybe that will change, but I have dabbled in thinking about getting a Norfolk pine because I think they're beautiful and they are pet safe, if I'm remembering correctly, and they think would love it in my house, and I just want a tree because I really only have itty bitty plants, which I love them and they're nice to decorate with right now, but I kind of want a statement plant. But I'm always worried about my cat because she really likes to rub up on them and sometimes bite, never chew, just like bites them. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I hope you guys have a great day, evening, or morning. And you can also follow the podcast on at Between Two Aeroids Pod on Instagram. If you are listening on iTunes and you enjoyed it, leave a rating. If you have some constructive criticism, send it in my DM box. I would appreciate it because I'm really the only one who listens to this. Like before it goes out. So if there's something I can do better, just let me know. I hope you're having a good December. Talk to you later.